As God looks at you and me, He looks at us, and a purpose for you and your individual lives. As a Christian, you have been declared a watchman for God. As a Christian, you have been declared a watchman for God by God. Now, I'm going to explain about the watchman, and I want, in the process of doing that, I want to explain to you your responsibility, my responsibility. See, we all have the same responsibility when it comes to God's service. The responsibility is serve. It's not waiting for someone to say, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. It's for you to ask God to reveal to you through His Holy Spirit what you need to do. Now, God a lot of times will show you. For someone will come in your presence. Could be a perfect stranger. And you will feel inside of you, there's something different here. That's a feeling. And that's God. And you will watch, or you will listen. You will hear something in their tone of voice, asking or telling, whatever they're doing. You will hear something there that God will reveal to you that you are the answer for that second, for that problem, for that individual. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you. Now, because God gives us the freedom you have is a gift from God, not from man. Because God has given you that freedom, you are free to turn and to walk away. Well, will I go to heaven? If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Let's get that out of the way. It's our actions as a Christian that God is talking to us about. And He says, I want you, Christian. I'll tell you about Ezekiel in a moment. The Old Testament. Your New Testament. You are the spokesperson and the watchman over God's word in your life. What are you going to do with it? God will give you the power. When He calls you, He automatically sets you up to win for His word. You're the watchman of God's word. A watchman's heart is what God wants us to live like. Live with a watchman's heart. Not to condemn, not to convict, but to love, to give, to stick out a hand of peace, to say, I want you to know the power that I know, the love that I know. You know, I never said to understand it. I don't. I mean, I don't understand why God loves me, but He does. Oh, He loved Brother Randy even. He does. You see, that's the love of God. Well, here's what you have in you. The ability to love like God. And God says, now you're a watchman. I want you to speak with authority. Therefore, I give you that authority. Ezekiel, listen to me. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak. Now catch that. Hear the word I speak, Ezekiel. Don't pay any attention to all the crazy people out there. Have you all heard a lot of crazy talk in this world lately? Have you seen what's going on? No wonder you're afraid to walk out your door. But the Lord said, hey, Ezekiel. Well, it was the same way in Ezekiel's time. I can tell you that. Ezekiel, you listen to me. God says, Christian, you listen to me. Not only am I going to tell you about me, I am going to be in you. And I will guide you. Holy Spirit power. And I will guide you to victory. Christians, act like a winner. Act like a winner. Winners always act like winners and they continue to win. Christian, you've already won. The race has been won for you. Jesus did it. Left you full of the Spirit of God. There's nothing that can win over you. Ezekiel, hear the word I speak and give them a warning from me. Now, Ezekiel wasn't saying, okay, boys, you're going to straighten up or I'm getting in there and I'm going to whip every one of you. No. He says, let me tell you what God says you need to be doing. And they started paying attention. So Ezekiel, I want you to go out and be a watchman for me. Now, as I've told you before, the watchman of a city, the watchman of a nation, they were always watching out for war that was going to come. Now, the warning didn't go out. The watchman didn't wait to put the warning out until the enemy was seen. The watchman was to pay attention to the weather. The watchman was to pay attention to the noise. The watchman was to see far in advance of himself, and he would know war is coming. Warn the people of the day to come. Warn them what can happen. So the watchman would warn, this is going to happen. Remember, you remember when God told Noah to build the ark? Everybody started laughing. Folks, the reason they kept laughing, he was building that thing for 120 years. Yeah, flood's coming, rain's coming. It had never rained. Nobody knew what he was talking about. No, Noah, he's crazy. Ezekiel, oh, he's shot. You know, he's talking of stuff we can't even see. Let me tell you about life eternal. Life is filled with what you can't see, but with the power that you can feel. It's called the Holy Spirit in you. Ezekiel, a prophet of the Old Testament, everything he was watching was external. He was dealing with the written law. You got me? He was dealing with the written law. He's one that would say, now a time's coming. The time's coming. It's going to be a new time that a Savior, a Messiah is coming. And all of this is going to change. But for right now, watchmen, pay attention to the written law and follow God's word, and you'll be victorious. Here was the warning, and the warning is still true for us. Ezekiel 3:18. God talking to Ezekiel. You know, this ought to make him stand at attention on this and listen well to it. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die if you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, the wicked man will die for his sin. And I, God says, Ezekiel, will hold you accountable for his blood. That's the way it was during the Old Testament times. Prophet, speak as a prophet of God or die. Ezekiel, you got it? Oh, Ezekiel warned. Trust me, Ezekiel knew. And Ezekiel warned. God said, I want, when they stand before me, they will stand without excuse. But the time is coming. That's our time. That not only will they hear the word of God, the word of God will indwell them. That's us. That's Holy Spirit power. I will come upon them. They're not going to stand before me and say, Larry Vance didn't tell me. God said, because I revealed myself to them. And God said to the generation, the Christian, you are a watchman over my truth. You know what the truth of God is? The truth of God is faith. It's internal. It's internal. The Old Testament was external, law, written. Now, okay, but people say, well, you still got to listen to the old law. Listen to me, folks. The gospel of Jesus Christ is internal. Romans 10:4. Christ, do you see? Christ is the end of the law. Romans 10, verse 4. Again, Christ is the end of the law. That end of the law was that written law we were talking about. So that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. See, the power then, it goes from the written law to faith, believing. That believing faith to everyone who believes. Romans 3, first part of verse 25. God presented him as a sacrifice, talking about Jesus, his only begotten Son, presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. Okay, that word atonement is at one-ment with Christ. At one-ment. Atonement. God sent Jesus to atone, to pay the price for you and me, for our sins. He took my sins, my guilt, and he paid the ultimate price that God wanted. And then God, the Father, gave me and you, Christian, you getting me? Gave us to Jesus as a gift. And the promise was that when God gave you to his Son as a gift, that could never be nullified. You know, I'm called by God to preach. The scripture says that one who is called, that calling can never be changed, can never be dissolved in any way. You hear people say, okay, well, I'll probably get to a point one day where I can't preach. But as long as I can, I will. Because you see, it's permanent. I got to get it all in down here with you all, because they don't need me preaching in heaven. We're already there. You all try to start preaching to me, I know exactly what's going to happen. But the thing is, God says, you're my family now. You're my watchman over faith. Don't you dare, Larry Vance, give them a bunch of rules and regulations. When you are saved by faith, and faith in Christ, by me saying I believe, I receive that salvation. It is a gift from God. It is not of yourself or any other human being. When you say yes, you are saved, you, Christian, are a watchman over that statement from God. By faith you are saved. Through grace. Because Jesus already did it. Jesus doesn't need me dying for him. He wants me to live for him. And he puts in the heart of every warrior the vision of victory. See, it's sort of like, if I can't see the vision of victory or have a vision of victory, I will not be victorious. If I don't have that desire to strive to glorify my Lord, Jesus known my name. Folks, Jesus knows your name. Oh, and here's what's scary sometimes. If it wasn't for grace, it truly would be more so. And he knows your thoughts. And he knows your actions. And do you know something? He knew all my thoughts before I had them. Yep. That's how powerful I have a Savior. And do you know something else? He saved me anyway. Jesus died for me anyway, knowing. Now, think of your own life. And for those of you who say you have never sinned since you've been saved, talk to me after church. Because you just lied to yourself. See, I'm saved by grace. I'm held by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. But because I profess Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, publicly, openly, and I stand on his word and his truth and his love. You can't take that away from me. I, though, and you can give, can love so much that gift God has given you, that you want to tell others about that grace. No, it's not the written law anymore. The scripture says it isn't. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the gate, I am the door. But you know how he summed it up? I am that I am. Whatever it is, he said, I'm it. For your hope, for your promise of today, hope for tomorrow, I couldn't have it without salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not controlled by man's thoughts or man's version. of what a Christian ought to act like. Does that ever bother you all when maybe someone pushes you to the stress part? And everybody in here has been stressed. You've been pushed to the stress part. Well, you see, sometimes when you get pushed to the stress part, words come out of your mouth you wished hadn't come out. You wished it hadn't come out the very second they end up off the end of that tongue. But then you don't know what to do about it. You said it. Not only did they hear it, everybody around hear it. Jesus heard it. I always picture in my mind Jesus physically looking at me in situations. Just like he did with his disciples. Folks, you can't count the times, guarantee you, that Jesus with his disciples would have to go, because that's the human nature. And the one who was the worst offender of Christ, he was the Apostle Peter. Peter knew Jesus intimate, meaning he was saved. But he denied him. He was saved, but he denied him. Judas Iscariot never was saved. But Peter was the greatest offender. And Jesus says, go tell Peter, this is where I'll be. Peter, the scripture says, wept bitterly over what the foolishness he had done. And Jesus said, it is upon your faith, Peter, upon this rock, your faith, I will build my church. So the church is not full of perfect believers. The church is full of believers. But also in that, the church has many unbelievers. The believers, will they win? I got news for you. We've already won. The victory lap is one day when we exit this physical body. And I won't use die. You can use it from the physical standpoint all you want. But Jesus said to me and to you, as a Christian, he who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So how do I take that fact? That's how I take it, as fact. Therefore, I will separate from the body, the physical. You ought to stick it in the ground somewhere. But don't, that's okay, it's coming back. Because you see, you and I belong to Jesus. When you said, I believe, you belong to Jesus. Jesus doesn't leave anyone behind. What Jesus owns, Jesus keeps. God gave you to his Son as a special gift. And please don't ever forget the prayer. Jesus prayed, Father, I would that where I am, they shall be. That's us. God always answered Jesus' prayer. So therefore, he tells us to be a watchman. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believe. Romans 3:25, God presented him as a sacrifice or atonement through faith in his blood. Folks, they can't change this. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel, The gospel, good news. The gospel is what we call the good news. What's the good news? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. A righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Holy Spirit power. Believing that the Christ living in you not only has the authority, is the authority, and blessing you. He says, I got you. And when Jesus has you, trust me, there's not any demon has a shot. You are part of the family of God. Listen to how powerful this Holy Spirit is. Now, folks, this is scriptural. I wish we'd get back to the Bible instead of what people think. Well, you know, I don't think she should have said that in church. I don't think this should have happened. I don't think they ought to look this way. They ought to look that way. Check it out. Acts 2, verses 17 through 18. Oh, this drives a Baptist crazy. And I'm one of those Baptists that used to be driven crazy by it. But listen. In the last days, have you not heard that we're living in the last days? Have I not preached it? Did not Jesus say that it was the last days when he entered? That was the beginning. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons, and daughters will prophesy. Your young, prophesy. Yep, that's preach. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Folks, prophecy of the Word of God is in God's hands. God will call who He deems worthy. How does He deem that? That's according to the faith. And if I don't have enough faith, He'll give me more. Amen. Now that's the love that God has for us. Holy Spirit power, Pentecost. Folks, when Jesus saved you and you said yes to Him, you received at that point all of God you will ever receive. That's not our problem. Our problem is accepting our responsibility with all of God, our Holy Spirit within us. I don't wait for God to come down. He's already here. He saved me. He saved you. He touched our life. We're a mess because we're humans. But that's okay. We're God's mess. That's the Word of God. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for the blessings of life, the joy of our salvation. Oh, Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, dear Lord God, for that great forgiveness, that great touch. Thank you for Jesus, Father, for the blood that was shed for each of us individually. And we who believe will always understand that the power given us is through your Holy Spirit, not man. We ask your blessing, Father, upon each one we prayed for. We pray for your blessing and touch, dear Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.